Or somebody saying Cooper runs like Adrian Peterson. That sounds like, is he a big dude?
I mean,
we got a 6 foot high. Do we have at least 6 foot on him? At least 220?
Derek Cooper, 6 foot two, 205.
Oh, my.
Is what I'm seeing right now for the
6'2", 205.
And weight.
Yow. That's a big, tall drink of water for a running back.
Sixth ranked running back in the country in this class of 2026. And look, there's high hopes and expectations for him when he gets to Texas.
That's so awesome.
We will see what type of role he has in his first year. And, my God, if the guy's 80% of what Adrian Peterson was, then we got something special here. Adrian Peterson, remember, AD, as they call him, chose to go to Oklahoma over Texas because he wanted to win a national championship. And while he was at Oklahoma, which school won a national championship, Buck?
Yeah, it's not like Texas won that national championship.
Maybe Texas who won the national championship there. So,
yeah, I never had a running back over 6 foot tall.
Really?
No, I've never. Well, I coached about a kid 6'1" at Illinois from Racine, Wisconsin.
There you go.
Yeah, he was a long drink of water. He was a long strider, you know. In between the tackles, it took him a while to get going. But once he got outside, once he got on the perimeter, he had those long strides. So he at least could fall down for 3 yards.
Right.
He wasn't a great one. He had great hands, though. Boy, could he catch out of the backfield.
Maybe that's Derek Cooper then. He's going to always fall forward for 3 yards every time he touches.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, we'll take that because it felt like C.J. Baxter was falling backwards for 3 yards every time he got hit at the end of his Texas career. Sorry about that, C.J. By the way,
where's he at now? Where's he at?
C.J. Baxter, I don't think has committed anywhere.
North Carolina A&T?
No. Trey Wisner did commit to Florida State yesterday. We talked about him taking a visit there, and he gave a verbal commitment to the cinnamon rolls yesterday afternoon. So best of luck to Quintrevion Wisner.
That is all that has to be all about money.
Yeah, I guess.
What else could it be?
Right. No, you're probably right. I mean, playing time too. Like, I would assume, I don't know Florida State's running back situation off the top of my head, but I assume Trey Wisner is brought in there to be the number one running back. And we were talking about Texas going out and getting somebody to play ahead of Trey Wisner here.
Which is kind of weird because it's a school like Florida State can't find a runner in the state of Florida.
School like Florida State can't find money right now. They're poor. Otherwise, they would have fired their coach, Mike Norvell. But, you know, we'll see. It's Florida State. A couple of years ago, they almost made the playoff, Buck. They were undefeated, won the ACC.
And then the year right after, all that good stuff.
Yeah, the years around that have not been very good under Mike Norvell. But I don't know. There's worse places Trey Wisner could have ended up.
The weather will be fine.
God, Florida State, 10-3 in 2022, 13-1. They were 13-0 until the bowl game in 23, and then 2-10 in 24, and 5-7. So hey, 3-win increase in 2025, Buck. They're
you're talking about taking a dive,
nose dive, yeah, hard nose dive right there. Off the top diving board. So that's where Trey Wisner is ending up. But a name for Texas fans to know, and I'm sure most of y'all have heard this name at some point over the last couple of days. We talked about him briefly during yesterday's show. Relique Brown, transfer from Arizona State. He is set to visit Texas tomorrow. Actually, Jabbar Jalouk, the Longhorns' new running backs coach, has an in-home visit with Relique Brown today. And then Brown is making his way to campus tomorrow. So clearly some mutual interest there if a Texas staffer is going there and he's coming here in the span of 2 days. Relique Brown, just over 1,100 yards this past season, 4 rushing touchdowns on 6.1 yards per carry. Also had 34 catches and a couple of receiving scores as well. Played 4 years of college football, started his career at USC, spent 2 years there, spent his last 2 years at Arizona State. The biggest question, I guess, with Relique Brown is he's dealt with some injuries in his past. Like, 2 of his 4 years of college football had been riddled with injuries to where he only played in two games in 2023.
He's sending an old war horse here or what?
I don't know. And two games in 2024. Now, in 2025, again, stayed healthy, over 1,100 yards in the Big 12, which I guess is technically still a Power Four conference. So he's, you know, high recruit going to USC out of high school. He's got experience, played at a high level. He's put up some good numbers when he's been able to stay on the field.
Yeah, should know how to protect himself.
That's the hope. One year it was a hammy injury, and one year it was a foot injury.
Oh.
So, you know, I guess not a ton of surgeries for Relique Brown, which is a good thing. 5'9", 195. He's got some speed. He's got some home run ability. And again, he gives you a little bit in the passing game too. So I wouldn't be opposed to Texas bringing him in, but I mean, I won't lie to you and tell you he's on the same level of Jaden Ball or Isaac Brown, the Louisville kid who decided to stay at Louisville.
Yeah, I'm not a hammy guy. I'm not a hammy with running backs.
Well, it was
a lot of those guys. A hammy and a foot.
Right.
You got to be careful with that. So, but they need somebody. It's Chancy, but you got to have somebody. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to not be the strong believer in Christian Clark. No matter what I saw the other day, I just still didn't see enough to think that that guy is a number one. He's a nice number two that can help you out and spell somebody for, you know, a game if somebody went down. But I can't get to the national championship with him being my starting halfback.
Yeah, it's a scary thought going into the year with that as your plan, right?
Yeah, I mean, plus you got a whole spring for him again. Sure. Once again, he had an injury that, dude, he just for him to be on the field last year was kind of amazing. And, you know, maybe missing some of that quickness, which I think I saw between the tackles. But I did see some holes that were there in that game. He didn't have to make the holes. They did a good job blocking. They schemed Michigan up pretty good, this Texas offensive line. And Sark's game plan and Coach Flood's game plan in the run game was pretty good. They had some holes.
Sure. But he made some plays. He made some guys
miss.
Yeah,
when his first carries around the corner, I mean, he got outside. Yeah. On his own, he has pretty good speed. I don't know if he's got breakaway speed.
Yeah. Yeah, look, is there a chance Christian Clark develops into a number one? Absolutely. But, sure. Again, I don't think Texas plans on banking on that happening. It's
he may end up falling to be your number one.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's why they're planning on spending a bunch of money on a running back from the portal. It's why they're having Relique Brown visit and why they're visiting him. It's why they're interested in Jaden Ball. It's why they're interested in other guys. They felt like they had a true number one. They wouldn't be. I mean, they didn't feel like they had a true number one with Trey Wisner. It's why they let him go.
That's true.
So they think that they need somebody better in the portal. And look, Relique Brown, I'm talking about a red flag with him. He's better than anybody Texas had running the football in 2025.
Yes.
I think by a pretty significant margin. So he would be an instant upgrade over what you had this past year. So, again, not my top choice, not the highest rated running back in the portal. I think he's like fifth. I think according to On3, he's the third ranked running back. And according to 24/7, he's the fifth ranked running back. So, you know, flavor of the month, choose your insider site there. So not the highest ranked guy out there, but again, a guy with major college football experience going into his fifth year of college ball. And he's coming off of an 1,100 yard season in Tempe.
Yeah, I hope I don't kick myself in my own ass by saying, you know, in the fourth game of the season, saying, boy, I wish Trey Wisner was still back here.
Boy, I'd be very surprised if you, of all people, were saying that.
I'm just saying that. I mean, sometimes you want something, you wanted a position and a player so bad, and the guy that you had all of a sudden doesn't look as bad as you thought they looked, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we'll be saying that. And again, if Trey Wisner ended up at like Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State, which was never going to happen, I just don't think he's that level of back.
Because they're that smart at those places too.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, they can see.
I'd be nervous. I think Mike Norvell is a terrible coach. I think Florida State's not good. So I don't think Trey Wisner is about to go for like 1,200 yards. And I don't think Florida State's going to be better than Texas next year to where we're like, oh, my God, we made a ginormous mistake letting Wisner walk. So,
well, first of all, I can't, you know, you'd have to really, you know, you'd almost have to be brain dead to think that you could give him that kind of money. You can't.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Relique Brown's asking for $1 million too, maybe upwards of that. So again, I think Relique Brown's a better player than Trey Wisner is. So I think you'd be willing to give him, if the money's the same, I think you'd lean him over Quintrevion. But I've been told it's $1 million, maybe closer to $1.5 million that he's looking for. Now, doesn't mean you have to give it to him, but if somebody is willing to give it to him and that somebody is not you, then he ain't going to you.
He ain't going to you.
Yeah, Relique Brown may be an NFL guy, but like, he's one of those dudes that I think, and I don't blame anybody for doing this with the current landscape that we have, is like, man, I'm going into my final year of eligibility. It might be my last year of playing football ever.
Yeah, I don't know with hamstrings and foot injuries how my career is going to be. I need that money in the bank.
And I would like to make that money. Now, also, I'm sure he's like, well, if I go to Texas and have a 1,200-yard year, then I'm going to be drafted and my football career is playing. So hopefully that's in the back of his mind too. But it's also, you know, like, where can I go get paid?
It's an all-encompassing thing for these guys, at all the positions we're talking about, because of the quarterback. The quarterback can make you money. This guy's good enough to make you look – he can make you look good because of the fear factor with him. He's going to help out any running back. He's still going to help out any offensive line. Bad or good, he's going to help them out because he's at that point now, I believe, after what we've seen from him. He knows when to escape. He knows where his weaknesses are on the line. He understands some of the wide receivers. I'm pretty sure he wishes they could catch a lot better, you know. But
yeah,
I think he's the guy that can really help you out in your run game too. So
that's why you're all in on 2026. Got that guy who's so good that you need to put the pieces around him to where you could compete for a national championship. Like, if Arch was gone and it's like, all right, KJ Lacy or DFL, it's like, all right, well, 2026 is going to be a bit of a rebuild. That doesn't mean you don't go get pieces from the portal, but you're probably not looking at Cam Coleman. You're probably not, you know, spending at the top of the heap for a lot of these guys. It's like, all right, well, let's, you know.
You're going to rely on some of your development guys that you're going to develop. That, you know, you get paid for coaching too.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, but, well, those guys do.
Oh, yeah. I wish I got paid for coaching from the couch. I feel like I do a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, you're a fantastic coach. You're a couch coach. You do good, CC.
Thank you very much. Our guy David Keith Williams says, Trey Wisner rushed for 1,000 yards and caught 40 passes in the same season, which no Longhorn had ever done. Doesn't make sense that so many Longhorns fans and insiders undervalue him.
See, look, that's coming back to me. That's what I'm saying. I'm hoping I'm not kicking my own ass for thinking that you could do better. I mean, I watching him, I know what his limitations are, you know, but I know that he was solid, and him coming back for another year, I would expect for him to be better because I expect the offensive line to have been better. But when you're all in, you're looking for the guy. You're looking for the dude right now.
There is some definite risk involved with Texas letting Trey Wisner walk.
I believe that. Yeah, in my mind, I've been thinking that lately.
Well, yeah,
there is a risk.
Well, going from known to unknown commodities anywhere in life, it means you're taking a risk, right? You kind of knew what you had with Trey Wisner.
Yes,
team leader, well respected in the locker room. Like a solid, like an above average running back. Like,
yes,
don't get me wrong, but they feel like they can upgrade. And I feel like they can upgrade too. And Trey Wisner, yes, he rushed for 1,000 yards in 2024. It was great. Took him 15 games to get there. Like, Texas played a lot of extra games to put up those numbers that he put up that year. I don't think he's a game changing type of back. Again, I wanted Trey Wisner back in 2025. I've always said, or in 2026, I always said that I didn't want him to go. But, you know, $1 million, $1.5 million, if you're going to be paying that much for a running back, I think you can find somebody better than him.
Yeah, and the guy from Florida is better. Sorry, whoever just said that, I'm sorry. That guy is better than this guy.
Now, again, that's the risk involved. If it was as simple as, you know, you let Trey Wisner go, and then the next day Jaden Ball had committed to Texas, we wouldn't have gotten that comment from David Keith Williams. At least I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. Sorry, David Keith. Love you. But that's the problem. It's like, you lost your guy, and here we are. It's day five of the portal. Still plenty early. There's still a lot of really good uncommitted players out there. But it is day five of the portal, and your top target hasn't entered. Your number two target has already said he's staying at his current school with Isaac Brown at Louisville. And now it just feels like from the outside world, you're on plan C.
Yeah, you're just trying to search now. But once again, we even before talking about Baugh, we had talked about guys at other places that weren't Power Five, schools that were just, I mean, right down the road. I mean, you know, you can tell a good running back and how he fits your scheme. You've got all the film. You've got people calling you up. You've got, you know, you watch, you see. They don't have to come from USC. They don't have to come from Alabama or places like that to come and do pretty good at running back. You can be a pretty good runner at a lot of places.
Dude, I would have loved Caleb Hawkins from UNT.
Yeah.
But sure. obviously, you know, he's following his coach to go to Oklahoma State. So I don't know if Texas or anybody else had much of a shot there. But yeah, I mean, we've seen, you know, Ahmad Hardy's the example that I always bring up, right? That guy was at Louisiana Monroe.
And wasn't even, I mean, the guys that weren't would go to places and don't even play hardly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Ahmad Hardy played a lot at ULM, but it's like, oh, he's at ULM. Now he's going to Missouri. What can he do in the SEC? He's one of the best running backs in the conference in the country this year. So yeah, you don't have to find guys from those big time programs to make a difference. But those are the guys.
You know them when you see them. That's how they stand out.
Yeah. Well, they clearly like Relique Brown, I guess.
Yeah. And Trey Wiser for all the things that he didn't do. He did a lot of really good things. He made himself known. He made himself valuable to somebody, just not valuable enough for here to get that kind of money.
All right.
And I got it. And I just think for what, I mean, you talk about beating up on OU and beating up on A&M and having a below average line last year, but he ran like a below average back last year, except for a couple games too, along with that below average line. And you can't do that again.
That's the biggest thing. Again, it goes back. Right. You got to fix the offensive line. Cause if you're getting any of these guys, if you're getting Jaden Ball with a bad offensive line, then you're just wasting your time. So I think he's good enough to where, all right, he could still put up some solid numbers here, but if you want Sark to get back to having a 1,000-yard rusher, I mean, I'm looking for somebody who could come in here and be an all SEC caliber player.
Sure.
And I feel like that's what Texas is looking for too. I feel like that's why they let Trey Wiser walk. They felt like they can add an upgrade who is an all conference caliber player at that position. And that's the hope. But the guy can't do it alone. No running back can do it alone. So do I think Trey Wiser would have put up as bad of numbers as he did if Texas had a competent offensive line this year? No, absolutely not. So you've got to make sure you're bringing in pieces. I think you're good at tackles. And Trevor Goosby, if he comes back, it sounds like he's coming back. You've got maybe the best left tackle in college football. I like Brandon Baker at right tackle, but you have to find some pieces on the inside of that offensive line so you can run between the tackles.
Absolutely.
Way more effectively than you did this season. So, Relique Brown, keep an eye on that one. Haven't heard anything about Caden Durham yet, the LSU transfer running back who played his high school ball at Duncanville up in the Metroplex. He is in the portal as well. Had a really good freshman year 2 years ago. Not as good of a sophomore year. Nobody was good at LSU this season. But that's another potential name that I know some Longhorn fans have been talking about. Haven't heard any reported interest between Texas and Caden Durham at this point. So
no, he was just okay at LSU, right? He wasn't a great one.
Well, yes, his freshman year, he had, I mean, he was like a freshman All-American. He had 753 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, they were a mess on offense this year too.
Yeah, on 5.5 yards per carry. Also 28 catches. Like he did a lot. He was a big part of their offense in 24. But yeah, this year, down to 500 yards, 4.5 yards a carry, half the number of touchdowns. And he just, like, after Brian Kelly got fired, he didn't play very much.
No.
Like, he only had double-digit carries in one of LSU's final 7 games of the year.
Yeah, they just weren't any good.
Yeah, they sucked. They fired their coach mid-season. They were, what, 7-6 when it was all said and done. So maybe there's some juice left to squeeze, if you will, with Caden Durham. But yeah, again, to this point, he's in the portal, but I have not heard Texas going after him yet.
Their new coach will know about running backs all over the country, I got to believe.
Lane Kiffin?
No, the coach here at Texas, the running back coach at Texas will know. He's been around, he's been to a lot of places, so.
Yeah, and look, you know, Jabbar Jalouk coached at Florida. Florida plays LSU every year. So, you know, he's gotten to see Caden Durham.
He knows all about the schools in Louisiana, the Louisiana Monroes. If there's some kid that jumps out, he knows the players.
Yeah, I bet he recruited Caden Durham out of high school because he was probably a high 4-star recruit and everybody offered him out of Duncanville. And again, he's seen him play in college in the SEC the last couple of years too. So he knows a lot about Caden Durham, and you know, that's obviously a vote of confidence if Texas decides to kick the tires.
I agree.
So we'll see. There's your latest and greatest out of the portal for Texas. The Longhorns also hosted a linebacker yesterday, Christian Allegro. Spent 3 years at Wisconsin, 6'4", 250 pounds. He was all Big Ten honorable mention this season. 53 tackles, 8 TFLs, 4 sacks. Very good athlete. And I know we say that, like, you have to be a pretty good athlete to play football at this level, right? So that feels like Captain Obvious. But Christian Allegro once signed to play lacrosse at Navy back in the day.
Woo.
So think of like Ethan Burke level athlete, right? Like that guy was good enough to play major Division I college lacrosse, chose to play football at Texas. Things worked out pretty well for both sides there. Christian Allegro, that type of athlete where, yeah, he's a big boy, but he can also move. And I know Wisconsin hasn't been very good, so they haven't been on a whole lot of people's radars, but there's a guy with starting experience in a major conference who can
Wisconsin's got some pretty good linebackers.
Yeah, they have. And this guy, good-looking dude, Buck. I don't know if I have to call, like, no homo after that or anything. Let me pull up a picture here.
Handsome on and off the field.
I don't know if it's weirder if I show a picture or not show a picture, but we're going to show a picture. Pretty good-looking guy right there. Guys are going to come to campus, and there's some good-looking women at the University of Texas.
Too fitty?
Dude, is that like 247, I think, is what he was listed at?
Well, we always list him heavier. We need to list him heavier. It's 250-something. Yeah, good-looking young guy. Bring him on.
6'4", 245 is what he is, according to ESPN.
It's still big enough to be inside.
Yeah, Wisconsin's website has him at 6'4", 247. So there you go.
It's a big dude.
The ladies would be okay with that guy coming in to campus next year. So, yeah, linebacker is another one of those spots I'm so excited about. Ty-Anthony Smith, I feel great about him. He was so good against Michigan, and he was really solid all season long. So that's one starter you know you have. But outside of that, that linebacker – you're not entirely sure what you have coming back. So that's another area where Texas could be going for two. I think they probably will be signing two linebackers out of the portal.
Anybody on the defensive backfield front, any cornerback looking?
Yeah. Yeah. They had, oh boy, you'll get a kick out of this one, Buck. Texas hosted a Rutgers cornerback.
Well, of course they did.
Yesterday. But he's good.
Did they have any Rutgers coaches bring him up too?
Well, yes. Mark Orfeh, going into his second year as a defensive assistant, actually recruited and signed Bo Masco, is his name, to Rutgers a few years ago. Masco's a good player. Fourth highest rated corner in the portal. All Big Ten honorable mention. I think he was the best player on Rutgers defense this past year. Now that's being the skinniest kid at a fat camp, maybe. But I like his game. He's also physical. He's also willing to play press man coverage. That's a lot of what Rutgers did, and that's obviously a lot of what Will Muschamp is hopefully bringing back to Texas.
Yeah.
So I think he'd be a good fit. I know Texas hosted him and his family yesterday. Yesterday was Monday, right? Yeah, yesterday. And we will see what happens there. But
I couldn't wait to just come up here and get the hell out of the snow.
Yeah.
80 degrees. They must have loved that.
Oh my God! No kidding. Yeah, what a
he's good coming. Oh, he's from Rutgers. He's coming. Hey, just say the word Texas. They're coming from Piscataway. They're coming.
And
you don't have to worry. You don't have to do much recruiting on that front.
Hey, Bo Masco is from Florida, so he's not one of those like grew up in the cold. Rutgers is close to home, so he's got to be staying in Big Ten country. Guy grew up in Florida. Maybe he wants some warm weather back in his life.
Yeah, come on, man.
I'll take that right there.
But no other coaches are coming from Rutgers right now, right?
As of now, there are no other coaches coming in for Rutgers. Much to your dismay, sir.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. So I like Bo Masco, though. I think that'd be a good pickup for Texas. I think Ohio State potentially interested. I think if Texas wants Bo Masco, like if they're willing to offer a good amount of money, he's going to come to Texas because the Mark Orfeh relationship, that's real. That should give Texas a leg up over anybody else. The fact that Orfeh, when he was in Piscataway, New Jersey, went to Florida to recruit this guy. Like, there's clearly a relationship there. So if Texas is like wanting to spend the money on a good cornerback, Bo Masco will be a Longhorn. I feel very good about that.
Any of these dudes leaving Indiana anytime soon? Is Indiana losing anybody? I mean, when you're good like that, you lose guys too when you're really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost some backups, and it's hard because they're still playing, obviously. So, you know, they might have some starter-level players depart once their playoff run comes to an end, which could be on Friday. That's when their next game is. But I don't know why you'd want to leave that place.
No kidding.
And they're hitting the portal hard. I mean, they got Josh Hoover, the TCU quarterback, so he's going to take over when Mendoza goes to the league. They got Nick Marsh, the wide receiver from Michigan State, a guy that I was hoping Texas was going to kick the tires on. I think they've got a running back. They're also, like, Relique Brown, the running back we talked about, took a visit to Bloomington over the weekend. So they're potentially interested in him, too.
I think one of their running backs has still got another year.
They're doing a good job, man, at Indiana. And I actually did a podcast hit last night with an Indiana guy asking about Parker Livingston. Like, Livingston took a visit there. So, like, they're doing a good – Texas didn't do a great job of this last year. And it kind of bothered me. And I sort of gave Sark the benefit of the doubt. It's like, well, you're spending more time getting ready for a playoff semifinal. So I get not being that active in the portal. But Indiana is doing the same thing. Getting ready for a national semifinal, and he's recruiting out the wazoo right now.
Yeah, and they're everybody's favorite to win it all now.
Yeah, I think they should be, right?
Yes.
That was the number one seed. They've been the best team in college football really all season. I mean, they haven't lost. Every other team that is still around has lost at least once. And, I mean, they just ran through Alabama in the Rose Bowl.
Roll Tide.
38-3, the final in that game?
Yeah.
Crazy. I know it ain't Nick Saban's Alabama, but it's still an Alabama team that won a playoff game. Dude, played in an SEC championship game. And they,
you know, I'm loving Feinbaum's show every day now.
What's he got?
Those Alabama cooking people have lost their cookies. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I've been around when Texas is bad. But Alabama hasn't been bad that long. You know what I'm saying?
They're not bad. They made the playoff.
Dude,
they won a game.
It's the end of the world for their football program. It's their fans. We'll never be back. We'll never coming back. How can we possibly do it with this guy? We're no good. They talk about their players like they have zero heart whatsoever.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, whenever Nick Saban lost a game,
yes,
Alabama fans would lose their mind. It's like, my God, do we need to make a change? Has the game passed Nick Saban by?
And it's not a bit with these people. It's not a bit. I thought it may be a bit that they just want to be angry at something.
Yeah.
They truly believe that they are done.
Right. They were acting like the world was crashing and the sky was falling.
Oh, yeah.
They would lose one game a year under Nick Saban. And now they're losing three or four with Kalen DeBoer. And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Dude, they are way – I mean, Georgia, you would think Georgia – and Georgia fans are bad when that kind of happens. Kirby's lost it or whatever. But they're not even close to what Alabama fans are.
No, they're at a different level. And look, with success comes expectations. So they had the greatest dynasty in modern college football. So they know they're capable of doing that. So they expect to be doing that every year.
And the more they act like that, the more in the SEC, the more I say – Auburn, you don't have a chance. Your coach, if you lose a game to an undefeated whatever team, you don't have a chance. They just believe you should be gone matter what. You better smoke everybody that you play nobody will believe in you.
Auburn, it's like you just beat Bama every couple of years, you're good to go. Stay around. Yeah, Auburn, I mean, they if they have expectations like Alabama, then I don't know what they're doing.
I mean, there are some jobs that if you get – and you can make things happen for a year or two, you're like a hero. If Arkansas can make it just for a year or two, make it happen where they can win nine games, people will go like out of their minds about Arkansas football.
Well, I mean, Sam Pittman had that for 1 year, right?
1 year.
2021, yes. The year they smoked Texas in Fayetteville in Steve Sarkisian's first season. I think they won 9 games and everybody loved Sam Pittman.
Man.
Then, you know, that's how it goes. I mean, they can love you, but eventually your time's going to run out. That was the case for Sam Pittman, and that's been the case for every Auburn coach. I've had coaches win national championships, coaches make national championships, and a couple of years later, sayonara.
So yeah, I'm thinking that the next group to get that is the dude who's now got the Ole Miss job.
Oh, Pete Golding?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Pressure's going to be on him. And
wow. See, we don't get that kind of pressure at Rutgers. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you're saying we with Rutgers now?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Rutgers is like, hey, can we just make some bowl games, please?
Yes.
That would be okay. But it just
so they are in the Big Ten. They're in the Big Ten, right?
They are, yes, sir. But wow. It doesn't mean as much up there. It just means more down here.
It started to mean just as much in the Big Ten lately.
I don't know about Rutgers, but
no, I wouldn't count them as that part of that.
Hey, the Big Ten, they've got 2 teams left. They're the only conference with multiple teams still alive. They're guaranteed 1 team in the national championship game because Indiana and Oregon are playing against each other. And if they win the national title, it'll be 3 years in a row where a different Big Ten school has won it all. So I think top to bottom, the SEC is still the best conference in college football. But Big Ten keeps winning championships, they will have a claim to stake.
Yeah, people can count those. Want to count those bowl games? I don't count those things. Are no, thank you.
Well, wait, Texas won, so yes.
Oh yeah, maybe we should count that.
They
yeah,
really matter. Isn't that
we just own Michigan. That's all
we do.
There's another team in the. There's another team in the Big Ten that we can't quite figure it out with.
Right,
we'll see them again for a third time.
Yeah, Ohio State.
We own Michigan.
Well, no problem with Michigan. Hopefully, Texas is about to own. Probably a better way to word that. Hopefully, Texas is about to buy 2 of Michigan's offensive linemen in the portal. That would be.
Now we're talking. Is that sounding good? Is that looking good?
I don't know. I mean, both of those guys met with Kyle Whittingham, I think on Monday. Maybe it was Sunday. I feel like it's Texas or Michigan for both. The right tackle, Andrew Sprague, and the right guard, Jake Guinera. So we will see.
Now, as a head coach, I wonder if these coaches, like the new Michigan coach, a dude from Utah that's just used to talking to families. I mean, when he brings the kids in there, I wonder if he has to sit down and talk money. Is he the guy to talk money or does somebody else do the talking with that? Is it all encompassing now as the head coach? You've actually got to talk money to the players. Or do you talk to their agents?
I think it depends on the coach. I mean, look, that's why you have GMs in college football. Like, that's usually their job. And most coaches, I think, they don't want to get super involved in that. But it's impossible to just not be a part of those conversations. And
yeah,
know
because the kid wants to hear that you're the decision maker there. Right. And if you're not talking money with that kid, then he's going to, you know, whether he has an agent or not, I don't know. Maybe kids are just different. An agent is just like being a part of you. You know, right.
Sark, I know, talks to the agents too. So, I mean, I know he's involved at Texas. It's a good question. I got to ask Jordan that exactly how that works. My guess is for some schools it's different. And like, I don't know if Nick Saban wanted to be a part of those conversations. I don't know if Bill Belichick is a part of those conversations at North Carolina.
Yeah. If you're a position coach and you're going to somebody's house to visit, I'm used to seeing a bunch of different people at the house on an official visit from, you know, a place like Texas and talking to him and stuff. And there's Uncle Joe over in the corner sleeping, you know, with a beer in his hand, not really paying attention, or somebody watching TV or whatever. But I'm wondering if you go there, they're like two different, there's two agents. The agency is there on your discussion with the family. I wonder how that is for recruiting. I wonder if that has got to be, I mean, you're talking about having your P's and Q's and your speech all lined up and what you want to say and what you can't say around people. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I probably would have a hard time of, oh, my son wants to be an engineer. I mean, like, dude. I mean, if I say that, that's not even, it's like over with immediately.
Yeah. You know, some guys probably don't care as much about the recruiting pitch as they used to. Some guys, it might just be, how much are you paying me?
Wow.
And that's a lot of mercenaries in college football nowadays. So.
No doubt.
That's his life. All right, we'll get back into this. Texas basketball, we have to talk about. Also, Academics are apparently still a thing. What are you doing? What are you doing the 6-7 dance?
I mean, it's just a thing. It's just a thing.
Oh, it's a thing that maybe is costing Texas a player that they really want. We'll see if you like the school after we get to this story. Plus a couple of funny stories before we hand things off to the boys at Chaos Theory at the top of the hour. But before anything else, Buck, how about a few more sponsor shout outs?
You know, I'll be headed to Hat Creek Burger today. Burger day. Get myself, before I play a little golf, I'm going to get myself double with cheese. Going to go for some sweet potato fries. I'm into the sweet potato fries now. I didn't think I would be, but I'm going to do that. And I'm going to have banana pudding shake today. How's
that?
You're
doing that before golf? You should do that after golf.
No. It gets to be too late. Dude, you start playing golf at noon. It's almost dark by the time you get home from places now. No. That's right. I can eat in the dark, but I'd rather come home to my lovely wife and have her lasagna or some salad with some chicken in it and pretend I'm really eating healthy. But I will be going, you know, I can eat healthy at Hat Creek Burger too. I could also go to breakfast at Hat Creek Burger from 7, you know, starting at 7 a.m. in the morning, get myself some tacos or get myself pancakes or waffles at Hat Creek Burger. But what I want is the double with cheese. Hey, keep your pickles, please. Hey, you know what you can add in there? How about some bacon, BK?
Yeah.
You know what? I've never been a bacon burger person. I'm thinking about doing that at Hat Creek Burger.
Oh, you're missing out on life, sir.
Really? There's something to adding a little bacon on top of that meat?
Bacon cheeseburger, a.k.a. every rabbi's dream?
Yeah, I think I may do that. But folks, Hat Creek Burger has everything that you're looking for. Folks, if you want a little hottie toddy at the end of the day, you can have that at Hat Creek Burger, mom and dad, while the kids are on that playscape enjoying themselves. Love Hat Creek Burger.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to them. Also, shout out to CentexTickets.com. If you're looking for tickets to any sporting event, any concert, any comedy show, any festival, whatever, you can find them online at CentexTickets.com. It's super easy to use. You shop from your phone or your computer, and they've got everything you are looking for. If you want to catch a Texas basketball game, men's or women's this year, I think the women are back at Moody Center on Thursday. If you want to watch them, boom. You could do that. If you want to head down to San Antonio for a Spurs game, watch Wimby in person. Boom. Centex tickets, as you covered. Plus, Kevin Nealon's coming to town on Friday. Pretty hilarious comedian. There's so much on site at Centex tickets. All you have to do is go over there, and don't forget to use the promo code CENTEX10. You type that in at checkout, you're going to get 10% off of any ticket purchase from our great friends at CentexTickets.com.
Sweet, love it. Love Centex tickets.
And McCall Custom Homes, Buck, how's your putting green these days?
Putting green is fantastic. I'm putting a garden right next to it, putting a couple of crepe myrtle trees in there and getting everything all fixed up. My wife said, hey, nothing like bringing in another garden for stuff to die in. But hey, listen, I do those things. And somebody's got to tell me, I'm trying to, how about this, old George Washington? I'm trying to grow a couple cherry trees.
Is that what George Washington did?
Or chop down a cherry tree. I must not tell, you know, I can't tell a lie. I chop down the cherry tree. But I'm trying to grow them. It's not going to work, but I'm going to give it a try here in the state of Texas. This is not the place. You get that stuff where CB lives up there when you have a little water and some winter. But, of course, I'm going to try it to watch it just die. I'm going to water the hell out of it. I'm going to try to put in a couple cherry trees down on the other side. I don't think the deer like cherries. So I don't think they'll bother the cherry tree itself, but we'll see. I love Mike McCall has done such a great job here. The putting green is beautiful. The hitting, the driving net, BK, I can hit balls into the net. I can go back, you know, 10 yards and hit balls into the net without hitting houses and stuff. It's great. I mean, he does it all.
Yeah.
He does everything.
The best in the business, A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Tons of experience. They can do whatever you're looking for. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. They're offering free estimates to TSU listeners, so take advantage. Make that a New Year's resolution to upgrade your home in 2026. And shout out to Covert Bee Cave as well. If you're in the market for a newer pre-owned car, truck, or SUV, go see our friends at Covert Bee Cave. The best selection, the best people, the best prices. They've got everything that you need right there off of Highway 71. You can shop their entire inventory online at covertbcave.com. So you don't even have to leave the couch until you're ready to make your purchase. They're the very best at what they do. Part of the Covert Auto Group that's been around the Austin area for more than 100 years. Go see them at Covert Behave.
Jason's like, who golfs on a full tummy? I do. I need to have a full tummy because it's the point of, it's still, it'll be in the 80s today. When I get to that back nine, it's like my man Paulie has to bring me a taco. He goes, you need to energize yourself. I found out that it's not always about hydration. It's about having enough food in that engine. I burn up. This engine burns a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This choo-choo right here burns up a lot. So I have to make sure that it's loaded with fuel before I take off.
You got
to
make sure you load up the toilet at the turn. Sounds like that's your goal, right? You're just going to down a double bacon cheeseburger from Hat Creek. And
I'm playing out of Lost Pines. Just the drive alone, it'll all be digested by the time I get out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. I might have to pull over and hit a 7-Eleven or something, though.
Yeah, and I'm also looking to shoot 102, 104 out there, as I always do.
It's a good goal to have, shooting in the hundies.
No, my goal is to be below 95 today. How's that?
I like that. I like that right there. All right, real quick, this academic story here.
Okay.
A linebacker, guy we've talked about once or twice over the last couple of weeks, Robert Woodyard Jr., entered the portal from Auburn. Speaking of Auburn, SEC linebacker, multiple years of experience, was a starter for the Tigers in 2025. Chip was talking about this yesterday, and I talked to Chip off the air about this too. I was told that Texas was interested, but Woodyard's academics aren't good enough for him to get admitted into the school.
What?
So he can't come.
We call him Woody for short, but really?
Why do you call him Woody for short?
What's his name? Woodward?
Woodburn? Woodyard. Robert Woodyard.
Yeah, we just call him Woody.
Okay. Well, we're not going to call him anything because he's not going to be here.
What?
And I didn't realize academics still mattered in college football in the year of our Lord 2026. But
of course, it's going to always matter. That's what I've been trying to push down on you for 10 years now, that academics matter.
Who do we blame here? Like, I feel like I should be mad at Texas. Like, come on, trying to win a national championship. It's a good linebacker who can help you do that. Do we?
Hey, listen, it's not always the university. The coaches understand too that if I tell you to cross that street and you keep crossing that street, let me tell you something. You may get hit by a bus and I'm going to take responsibility for it. But damn, if I told you 1,000 times, dude, do not cross that street.
There is no way Sark was like, no, his academics aren't good enough. We can't have him. There's only so much in Sark's control. He does not control the admissions at the University of Texas.
You'd be surprised, BK, on how far you can go with smart football players.
Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. I mean, of course it helps, but talent helps too. And look, there's other options.
Not if you keep telling that talent, hey, don't cross that street.
We're not talking about, you know, turning down Dick Butkus to play linebacker here. I mean, like Texas can be fine. They'll find good linebackers in the portal. But this is a guy, again, I was told that there was mutual interest there, but he couldn't get into school at Texas. So I feel like it's not that hard when you're a really good football player, just athlete in general, to get into the University of Texas. You don't have
In other words, you'll let a dope tackle for you, but you won't let a dope take the snap from center.
You don't have a lot of regulations or restrictions that a guy like me would have trying to apply to the University of Texas. It's not as difficult, and I'm cool with that. Not a complaint, by the way. So I'm like, is it Texas's fault or is it the kid's fault? Like, I don't know how that happens in 2020.
So the kid is actually in a college. Somebody's already pushed him in or pushed him through or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's actually probably been to a class before.
I think he's been to some classes before. I think. Like, you have to be academically eligible to play still.
I don't know how that works anymore.
I don't either. Nobody cares about the school.
Because most of the good ones are academically eligible for the season, then they're gone. They could care less.
All right. I didn't come here to play school. All right. Clearly.
Yeah, because I remember when I first started doing radio, it was always, you know, such and such still had, you know, he wasn't at summer practice because he had to take a bunch of classes in order to be eligible to get out there and practice in the fall. Dude, I haven't heard about that in 10 years. They quit doing that shit. They just, even if they're academically ineligible, they just practice.
Yeah.
It used to be, you remember when you'd hear about, well, such and such still got some classes to take before he can go to fall camp. You don't ever hear that anymore. That doesn't even come up anymore.
It's like a high school thing, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, he's got to take some classes before he can play. Nobody says that anymore. It's like, I don't care how dumb his ass is. He can play. Let's go.
Mike Singletary, I want winners. He didn't say, I want students. I want scholars. He didn't say
I want student athletes. That's what I want.
I want winners. Oh, come on. I'm like, really? We're still doing this here? Oh, my gosh. All right.
You hear about that all the time. You don't hear it anymore. You don't get the before the season. You don't hear Sark saying, well, such and such will not be making practice because he's got a couple classes. And Mac used to just say it. Mac just said, well, you know, what's his name? He's got to take two more classes. He'll be there in another week. Class will be over with. He'll join the team. You don't even hear that anymore. It's like, okay, even if they're flunking, they just practice.
Yeah, well, we've heard Sark talk about GPA before. And Texas has been good in that department, at least according to Steve Sarkisian. I'm not checking his facts on that. So I know they want their players to go to class and get good grades and everything like that. But that's a good thing, I guess. But I didn't realize it would cost them potential impact player on the defense, you know? Weird bit. He's going to Mizzou. Apparently he committed to Mizzou yesterday. So that
they don't have to go to school there. That's not a big deal.
No, it's pretty easy to get into Mizzou. Go be a journalist up there. Good luck to you, Woody, as he liked to call him. Maybe go to class. Hey, Texas basketball is back tonight, Buck.
Woody's a dope. He can't get to Texas. Woody.
Couldn't get to Texas. Texas basketball at Tennessee, 8 o'clock tonight on ESPN2. Tennessee ranked number 21 in the country. Both teams dropped their SEC opener. We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Texas's disappointing overtime loss to Mississippi State. The Volunteers dropped a game at Arkansas. Arkansas's pretty good, and it's not an easy place to win. The Longhorns have lost four in a row against the fake UT. And Texas is a 10.5-point underdog tonight, Buck.
Woo.
So the folks in Sin City not very confident in the Longhorns' chances to get to 500 in conference play. And this starts a very difficult three-game stretch for the Longhorns. They are at Tennessee tonight, at Alabama over the weekend, and then Vanderbilt comes to town next week. Those are three teams all ranked in the top 20.
Those boys better stay on the right side of the street for the next couple games.
Yeah, I guess so. And Tennessee, by the way, they have been incredible at home under Rick Barnes. They have five home losses in the last 5 years, the second best home winning percentage in the country behind only Houston, who we see what they do every year.
Dude, the herky-jerky lefty is going to take more shots than he's ever taken since he's been at Texas tonight.
I am. Maybe.
He is going to go berserk.
I hope. I mean, there have been games. Remember the Duke game where Tremont Mark shot like three times the entire game? Maybe it was two. Yeah.
He's going to take a lot of shots in this game.
So we'll see. I mean, it can't be Dalen Swain. As good as he was, like, Dalen Swain's not going to get you 34 points every night. So you're going to need more from Jordan Pope, who was not good against Mississippi State. You're going to need to make some more free throws. I think Modest Vokatidis is going to have to be a big part of the offensive game plan. And, you know, what will Texas get at the four? Sean Miller talked about it after the game. It's something Zay's been talking about a lot. Texas has not gotten any contributions from the four spot all year long. I don't know. You've only had 2 days off from the last game, so I don't know what's going to change tonight. But, like, you know, Sean Miller said you're playing 4-on-5, and he's not really wrong. But it's his job to find a fifth guy.
But you're playing 4-on-5 when you got Pope in the game.
Well, then if that's the case, it's 3-on-5.
Yeah, because that little guy can't cover anybody.
rough game for Pope. So we'll see. Tennessee's good. They're battle-tested. They beat Houston. They beat Louisville.
Yep.
They've played Kansas. They lost to Kansas. They lost at Syracuse. They lost to Illinois. They lost to Arkansas. So they've got four losses. But
you know, weird talking about Kansas is like a 16th ranked team or 15th.
They are. I think they're 22 right now.
Wow.
Dude, Kansas, and maybe once like we're further removed from football stuff going on, we'll talk about this. Kansas has a kid, Darren Peterson, who is the number two recruit in America this year, potential number one pick in the NBA draft. And he's like hardly playing. he's missed a lot of games with a hamstring injury. And people are like, is he really hurt? Is he just faking it? Like, he knows he's going to be a high draft pick. Did he just take the money and run? Like, he's there with the team. In the first half, Kansas lost to UCF over the weekend. He had like 22 points in the first half. And then he played 3 minutes in the second half. Then he sat on the bench and had one of those massage guns from Relax the Back.
Oh, really?
Doing nothing the rest of the game. And it's like, we could use you. We're losing this game. And instead, he's over there like away from the rest of the bench.
With his accessories.
Theragunning himself. But it's like, it is a, you know, we don't talk too much non-Texas college basketball in January on this show. But it is like one of the biggest stories of college basketball right now. And every Kansas fan is like, what in the hell is going on here? Paid this guy a lot of money and he might be faking an injury to not play.
That's awful.
And he's a one and doneer too. So this is it. But anyways, we'll see what Texas does tonight. Tennessee's got a really good freshman in Nate Ament, who was a top five recruit. He's a little soft, not as physical, not having the year that I thought he would have at Tennessee, but he's still their second leading scorer, potential lottery pick. Their best player, Jacoby Gillespie, Maryland transfer, averaging 17 points per game. He's a point guard who will be a tough guard for anybody on Texas. So again, Longhorns are 10.5 point dogs, Buck. I'm not expecting a win, but it would be very nice if they did.
Why don't you just not expect that win and just have a surprise tomorrow morning?
I would love that. Yes, I would love a surprise tonight. Again, 8 o'clock on the Deuce, Texas at Tennessee, trying to beat Rick Barnes for the first time in 5 tries.
Wow.
Okay. Quick mention, Heck Law Firm, Ryan Hurricane Hecht, your go-to personal injury attorney here in Central Texas, 512-938-8929, hechtlawfirm.com for more info. He's the best at what he does. If you need a personal injury attorney, he is the guy you need to call.
Yeah, they need to hit some offensive linemen here over the next, while this week is going on, because those guys will start really disappearing. You know, next week, guys will start it. It's, what's next week? You get into the 13th, 14th, and 15th?
Yep.
Halfway through. Guys are going to start disappearing at other places here shortly.
Yeah, and I think, look, Texas has hosted a number of offensive linemen before, and I think they have some fallback options too. But I think they really want those two kids from Michigan. It's just, you know, it's Texas versus Michigan right now. So the Longhorns, those guys are in the portal. This is not a Jaden Ball situation where they haven't even entered. Both of those Michigan offensive linemen are in the portal.
Yeah, and they have interest in Texas, which is good to hear.
They do. Yeah, they have interest. There's mutual interest there. But Michigan has money, of course. And, you know, they didn't have to pay a buyout for Sherrone Moore, which helps. Usually when it's a coaching change, you got to save some of that money to pay your coach to leave. They didn't have that problem.
You didn't got any money yet?
And, I mean, those guys committed to Michigan. So it's like they've been there. That's home for them. It's a lot to up and leave across the country to go from Ann Arbor to Austin, Texas.
No, it's not. No, it's not, guys. You fly, you just, hey, we'll get a U-Haul. We'll get your stuff.
You're right.
Just put it out in the yard or whatever it is. The U-Haul people will pick it up. We'll see you here in Austin. Quit messing around. Just get here.
You're right. You know what? In case they're listening, it's very easy to get here.
Yes.
Hey, check the weather app. Do you want to be what?
Yeah.
You have in Ann Arbor
right now?
Yeah. Do you want 80 degrees here in January? Some warmth for you. And then, hey, you could still go home for the summer. You don't have to worry about that.
No, you look around the country and the temperatures right now, it's like, oh my goodness.
I think
your bones.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't have to deal with that.
No.
I won't lie to you. Andrew Sprague, the right tackle, is from Kansas City. Jake Guanera is from Florida. Another Florida kid. Hey.
Come on.
And some of that hometown weather. We got it here in the ATX. All right.
Yeah, he's probably sick of that Michigan weather anyway.
I would be. I was in Ohio for like 3 days. And
you had enough. You never want to see that again.
No, I'm good on that. So we'll see if they can get either or both of those offensive linemen. More action happened yesterday, but there's still a ton of really good uncommitted players available, and the majority of the top 9 quarterbacks are still uncommitted. So there are options for Texas, but yeah, I think every Longhorn fan is looking for more good news. There's been, 5 portal pickups, but 3 of them are specialists. One of them is a number two tight end, and one of them is like a beefy defensive tackle.
Yeah, I got a feeling, BK, if Jayden Ball doesn't leave Florida by the end of this week, he's not leaving. I don't think this is going to come down to a last. I think
I think we'll get an answer this week. I think you're right. I think he'll say something either way. I don't think we'll go into like Saturday and be like, God, what is he doing? Is he going? Is he staying? I think it'll either be he's in the portal or he's released a statement saying he's staying in Gainesville.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to go where I know he's not a guy who's worried about if he's going to make an NFL team, I need money in the bank. I mean, he's got enough money from Florida. He's looking for a place where he can get some yardage, where he can get some more notoriety, where he can become a higher draft choice, because he's an NFL running back, period.
Right. And I'd like to say that he's got a better chance of doing that at Texas, but
who knows? They only have a quarterback at Florida, do they? Or unless coach is bringing somebody with him.
No, I mean, they're in the portal looking for somebody, but they don't have one because Lagway.
Nothing for Lagway. He's not, nobody's, he's not, is anybody?
He's taking visits. Dude, he could be in the same backfield as Trey Wisner next year. He took a visit to Florida State the other day. So, yeah, no, he hasn't committed anywhere, but DJ Lagway is making the rounds right now. Final story here, Buck. We go to Houston for this one.
Okay.
Where an employee at a Lupe Tortilla Tex-Mex restaurant has been arrested. You been to Lupe before? They got a few in Austin.
I've never been.
There's one close to where we used to work, the place where the lights turned off.
Okay.
Solid Tex-Mex joint, though. And we'll take your money, Lupe Tortilla. We usually don't do free plugs around here. Although this story's not going to help them very much, so maybe this is the opposite of good advertising for them. An employee at a Lupe Tortilla in the Houston area has been arrested and charged with a felony. Now, let's bring the boys on for this one here, too. Buck, I'll go to you first. Any guesses on what this restaurant employee did to get arrested and charged with a felony?
Stuck his Johnson in a warm tortilla.
Is that a felony?
Yes,
but you stick it out the drive-thru window.
Okay. Oh, that's different. But like, I don't know.
Why did I think of that? Why did I think that? I wonder what that would feel like.
Huh. Check your battery pack, double R.
Maybe I got something to do before I head to the golf course.
I was going
to
say, well, now I'm kind of intrigued here. I might go give me some Tex-Mex today and try that bit. You know, now I'm probably, I guess public indecency. If you did that in the restaurant, then okay, you can get arrested for that. But I don't think there's any crime in just,
doing it at the house. There's no crime in doing it at the house if you don't get caught.
Just wrapping it in a warm tortilla, right? There's no problem with that.
I call that a glove.
That's protection. We always say use protection. There you go.
Catcher's mitt. Maybe it was like, did somebody steal some fajita meat? Because they got really good fajitas there. So I know there was some dude in Austin that stole a bunch of briskets.
Oh.
So maybe something
brisket
like that.
Brisket thief, huh?
Where was that?
That was, he stole it from some grocery stores like HEB and Walmart. And it was like $1,500 worth of briskets that this dude stole.
Wow.
Was he having a party or was he trying to resell it?
I figure he was probably doing resell. I posted on some community forum where people were outraged, and I said, think about that when you're having brisket this week at that plate sale down the road, you know, where it's like $10 rice and beans and brisket for a great cause.
For a great cause, yeah.
I didn't steal it, so you know, all good for me. Okay, Wags, you have a guess? Lupe Tortilla employee arrested and charged with a felony?
Putting some extra queso in the queso. I don't know.
Ooh, some of his own special sauce?
Yeah. Some ingredients in the queso.
That should definitely be a felony right there. No, it has nothing to do with the food. How about invasive visual recording? This employee is accused of hiding a camera in the bathroom.
Oh, he's one of them.
31-year-old. Hey, I'm 31. Basin Elias Pugh.
I guarantee you have a lot more going on than Basin.
Basin, B-A-Y-S-O-N.
Like a crack basin.
Like cousin of Mason? Basin?
Cousin of Mason. His last name is Pugh or Pooh, P-U.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he had some bathroom stuff, you know, in his nature just by his name himself. Here's a picture of the guy.
Oh, look at him.
To take a look. This story is from December 30th in the Hedwig Village area of Houston. He's accused of hiding a camera in the bathroom. Hedwig Village Police Chief Justin Wood said another employee found the camera, told the GM who called the police. The preliminary investigation shows that the camera was installed on Tuesday just after 6:30 p.m. and that a female employee discovered it under the bathroom sink around 7:10 p.m. that same evening. So this dumbass did such a bad job hiding this that 40 minutes went by between when he installed it and when he got caught.
Come on, man.
In the bathroom sink? I mean, was he just looking for people washing their hands?
Right, under the sink. Now, here's the kicker. It was the family bathroom. So sometimes it's just that's where the sink and the toilet are in the same. You know, you don't have the separate stalls. So I'm like, oh, he did this in the women's bathroom and put it in a stall. And I'm like, wait, he did it under a sink? What's the point of that? And then, no, it's the family bathroom.
Oh, it's where they get to go change the diapers and stuff?
Right. Yeah. I guess so.
You pervert.
He's trying to catch somebody milking or something.
Yeah, he's trying to see some breastfeeding. What's he doing here?
Well,
I mean, you're into whatever you're into, I guess, right?
I'm trying to see some of that. Now, I'm not doing any invasive cameras here, but... You know, if I'm doing some Marshall shopping today and you want to go ahead and feed your child, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and at least have a glance at what's going on over there. You know?
Under the sink? Come on, man. Put it up in the vent or somewhere, you know, drill a little hole and put it in the wall, you know, or something. I mean, that's what I've heard works. I don't know.
So like 40 people don't go to the family bathroom as often. Right. So this might have been like the second or third person who went in there.
No, you pull that table down and you change your kid if you want to look up a kid's ass.
Right. According to court documents, the camera allegedly recorded a woman and a young girl. So at least, you know, unfortunately, I should say at least, unfortunately, a couple of people were victims here. But also this idiot, like there's video on this device of him installing the camera.
Oh, gee.
God. Like, he wasn't wearing a mask or any disguise. So, like, you literally see this dude's face on camera installing the camera in the bathroom.
Damn you, dumb.
I teach my kid to get away with it.
A dope. I mean, how many times if you tell that guy to cross the street, would he cross the street? Every time?
Well, here's the...
Coach Miller, thank you very much.
I don't know if this is a kicker here, but apparently this guy is also an illegal immigrant who had fake... residential documents. So when I tell you his name is Basin Elias Pugh, I don't know if that's his actual name or if that's just the name that was on the
I've never heard of Basin. Basin is just different. I'm like, nah, something's not right here. Right.
I've heard of Basil. Like I there was an old man back in the day named Basil.
Really? You've heard of somebody named Basil?
Tony Basil? Yeah, like his actual name was Basil, not like the ingredient, but like Basil. But not Basin. Never. Or Basin?
B-A-Y-S-O-N. Basin Elias. Pew, pew, pew. P-U.
Yeah.
You Basin? You free Basin?
Free Basin.
Under the sink? That doesn't seem right.
Family bathroom under the sink, and he filmed himself installing the... of course, it's disgusting, and you should throw this guy under the jail. But he's also one of the dumbest criminals of all time. Glad he was so dumb because less people, again, had to get filmed in a bathroom. But like, dude, come on, man. What are we doing here?
Yeah. I had a buddy back in the day. His name was Frank Cuellar. And he worked with us or whatever. And I'd always like, hey, Frank, dude would never answer. And I'm like, you know, eventually I'd get his attention, you know, I like have to tap him on the shoulder. And finally, after about 4 years of calling him Frank, hey, Frank, one of the guys said, that's not his name. He's not going to turn around. He's got fake papers. I'm like, okay, I get it.
So BK at Verde's, you know, of course, our guy who owns Verde's and a couple of the people there, they've got to the habit of the girl that waits on me there now, of course, she Bucky, Bobby, B- Billy. She's called me Billy like 10 times. Hmm. And my wife is like, I said to her, I haven't said to the lady, no, it's not. This has been going on for a year. I have let her call me Billy now. So I come in the house, I tell my wife the story. The next morning, my wife said, hey, listen, Billy, you need to, don't you want to tell that girl your name? I'm like, no. I go in there and I know what to answer to now. Hey, yeah, Billy, have a good day. That is the weirdest thing.
Also, because your name is Michael. So when you pay with a credit card, it says Michael on it. So I don't know how she's getting Billy out of all of
well,
that.
Well, you know, the manager calls me Bucky, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for some reason, she misunderstood that as Billy. And now, is that, do I have to stop that? Or boys, do I go and just go ahead and just let it ride?
Let it ride. It's already gone long enough. Let it ride.
Take it from Ronnie.
Okay, it's, Ronnie, yeah. What should I do? Should I let it ride?
I would say let it go, but or you could dish it back and just call her like Eileen You Lick as her name. hit her with one of those, or you know, Anita Cox. Just hit her with that.
I just don't know when is the right time to stop it. That's now that it's gone. It's like she's gonna look at me and go, listen, you dope. You've been coming in here for 3 years now, and for a year you've let me actually call you this name. You
know, just play it off.
Just let it play out, right?
Let it go.
You're just being kind. You're being kind.
Thank you, Wags. I should look at it that way.
Yeah,
I'm just.
I would play a bit. Like you should tell her your name is Hugh Jasshole.
Hugh Gay.
Yeah.
Hugh Gay at all.
Exactly. Like you could. Jack me off. You got some options here, sir, that you could play
should
with.
I do the old Jack me.
Of course, the classic one is Haywood. Jablomi. So yeah, Haywood, if you want to go by that. So you guys
or Richard Apenia?
I'm sure
Haywood. Yeah.
I'm not gonna stop her. I'm gonna wait.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it till Valentine's Day.
Don't tip her the next time. Tell her why.
Yeah, tell her you're Steve Kerr's kid, Nicholas, and you go by Nick. Don't say that one, boys.
Yeah.
Don't say that one. I could get you in trouble here.
Oh, God.
That's the one you got to hit right there.
That's problems.
An unbelievable bit by Steve Kerr.
All right, boys, I'm off to Hat Creek Burger to load up this belly.
Whoa.
Okay.
The last couple of weeks of waiting, I've had a 158 weighing, BK. I had a 159.3. I've had a 158. I'm almost there, guys.
Get that sombrero.
Trying to get 160?
I'm almost there.
The sombrero burger should put you over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a 3 full meals in a day. Three full meals will get me there.
It's those migas the other day that got you close. You have those migas at the bakery or at the day?
Man. Absolutely. I've had migas at what's the place down here on 71 that I go to, BK?
Jim's?
Rosie's.
Oh, who?
I went to Rosie's and had me on
Jim's,
Sunday.
Jim's is closed. I was trying to go to Jim's Saturday night. We were downtown. We were coming back home.
That's got to be a plumbing issue. That's one of those BK issues. That's water not working or something. They're never closed.
We pulled into one right there off of Mopac, and it was closed, and the one at 183 said closed. So, man.
Plumbing for both of them, using the same water.
Plumbing? How many straps did someone all right, you know what?
Plus, they're like 15 miles apart.
You know what's crazy?
I'm saying they're using the same water. The flow, it's whoever did the system, they do it for all the gyms.
2 years ago, around this time of year, we had pipes bursting because of cold weather. And now we're swimming in pools and shit.
Yeah,
no kidding.
I'll take this, Wags.
100%, but I mean, what's going on here?
I know. Global cooling, as they call it.
Yes, global cooling.
I believe.
Listen, boys, have a great Tuesday.
You too, boys. Be good.
See you tomorrow.